We're going to be doing a short study on Psalm 23 this morning, and I don't think it would be a stretch to say that this is the most well-known psalm in all of the scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd is the opening phrase there, and I think most people, even many people who are not in any sense Christian, have heard at least some portion of this psalm, or have read it. It is often the first verse there is put on things like mugs and on nice little banners people hang up around their home and all that sort of thing. Okay, so most people have seen at least read at least a small portion of the psalm to some degree, even if they aren't Christian. But oftentimes we read through this psalm and it's a fairly shallow reading that we do. And it offers some minimal comfort to us in times of struggle and that sort of thing. But oftentimes our thoughts don't really go beyond scratching the surface on this psalm. And so this morning I thought it'd be good, in light of the fact that we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper, that we should focus in on the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. And so we're going to read through the psalm. It's a very brief psalm, but it is full of encouragement and rich truth for us. So let's do that. Let's read through the psalm this morning. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth o'er. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time of study in his word this morning. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we look to you now as we come to this study of your word, Father, as we seek to meditate upon this rich psalm before us. We pray and ask that you bless this time, that by your Spirit you might meet the needs of each heart represented here this morning. And Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored, glorified, and exalted in our midst, and that his name would be adored by all. And we pray and ask it in his name. Amen. Before we continue this morning, I hate to interrupt the message, but I just remembered that I needed to let you know that Sister Marlies has her operation on her knees this Tuesday, okay? So keep her in your prayers, and obviously that's quite an important operation for her, so pray that the surgeons will have wisdom and that everything will go smoothly for her as well, okay? All right, back to the message for this morning. So the theme of this psalm is a life of blessing, a life of richness, a life that is full of the providence of God, a life that is led by the Good Shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. Psalm 23 has often been referred to as the shepherd's psalm because of that opening verse. And it immediately presents our Saviour as a caring and generous shepherd who always provides the best for his sheep. And that is us. We are the sheep, his people, the sheep of his pasture, and he is our shepherd. There are two things that we must bear in mind as we look at this passage. Firstly, the shepherd is the one who is performing all of the work. Okay, the sheep are not the ones doing the work. The shepherd is the one who's performing the work. And secondly, the sheep are expected to simply trust and follow the shepherd. Okay, they are not expected to go and make things happen. They are expected just to follow where the shepherd leads. Okay. It is, I have just a quick quote here from Warren Wiersbe, just as an introduction. He says, "It is unfortunate that people tend to spiritualize this psalm and fail to see it in its true setting. They see David, a young shepherd boy, lying on his back in the pasture and pondering the things of God, when he probably wrote this psalm later in his life, possibly even during the rebellion of Absalom, as seen in 2 Samuel verses 13 to 19. In it, David deals with some of the difficult things he experienced during his long walk with the Lord. While people of all ages love and quote this psalm, its message is for mature Christians who have fought battles and carried burdens." Again, this psalm was not written by David as a shepherd boy lying on his back in a green pasture, having never really gone through deep waters, gone through deep trials. No, this was written later in his life, after he was pursued by King Saul, who tried to slay him, and after he had to unite the kingdom, and potentially, as Warren Wiersbe says, potentially this was around the time that Absalom rebelled against David. So he has gone through those deep trials. He's gone through difficult times, and in light of how the Lord has led him through those difficult times, as he meditates on the goodness of God, he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And so that is the context for the psalm, and it helps you to understand that this psalm is written to those who are going through difficult times, through trials, or who have been through trials and may be questioning the goodness of the Lord. So the psalm opens up, as I said, with this introduction of the Good Shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so firstly, we notice the identity of the shepherd. At the beginning of verse 1 there, it says, "The Lord," capital L-O-R-D. And when we see that, we know that that's referring to Jehovah, the eternal self-existent one. God, Jehovah, is my shepherd. And as a born-again Christian, you can claim, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you're not saved this morning, then the Lord is not your shepherd. That you are what the Lord Jesus described as a child of the devil. But if you are saved this morning, if you're born again, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you can claim that God, Jehovah, the Lord, is my shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep, who loved his sheep. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Lord Jesus loves his sheep. He is not like the hired servant who sees danger approaching and abandons the sheep and leaves them to be devoured by the wolf. But the Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who is willing even to give his life for his sheep. That is the love of the good shepherd. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is our shepherd. We are His sheep. And so as we look at the psalm, we can identify those two people groups, the shepherd and the sheep. And the shepherd is very clearly laid out as a loving man. He is the good shepherd, the loving shepherd, who sacrifices his life for the sheep. And the sheep are the sheep of his pasture who follow the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ are His people. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And the Lord Jesus says that He has His sheep in His hand, and no one can pluck them out of His hand. He is the good shepherd who offers us protection and who provides for us, for our needs. And so again, the first question to ask at this point in time is, have you given your life to the good shepherd? Are you one of His sheep, one of His people? Can you say that the shepherd holds you in His hand this morning? Are you saved? Have you given your life to the shepherd? As we're going to see, as we go through here, the life that the good shepherd leads us in is one of blessing and fulfillment. And so it is worth giving your life to the good shepherd. The good shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us beside the still waters, and we'll get into that a bit further. But it's very clearly a life of blessing, a life of abundance. But the shepherd only leads his sheep in those paths. So if you are not one of the good shepherd's people, one of his sheep, then you cannot expect to be led by the still waters, to be led in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so, again, are you one of His sheep? Do you belong to the Good Shepherd? But we see the analogy here, obviously, of a shepherd, and so it's worth thinking a little bit further about the shepherd. And what would King David, as he was by the time he wrote this psalm, what would he know about sheep and being a shepherd? Of course, you all know that that's where David started out when Samuel came to find him. He was out with the sheep. But it's worth thinking about it a bit further. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. So David knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what that was like. He knew how much a shepherd values and cares for the sheep. And so he's drawing on his own personal experiences here as he seeks to, by inspiration of God, to portray the care, the tender love and care of the good shepherd. So he's drawing on his understanding of what it is to be a shepherd, as he describes for us the good shepherd. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible often portrays people, specifically the lost, as being these lost sheep that the shepherd is seeking. Like the shepherd who had 100 sheep and one was missing, and so he goes in search of the one lost sheep. That's a picture of the Savior seeking lost souls, seeking lost people. Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 to 38 says, but when he, the Lord Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So Matthew pictures the lost as being sheep and as being a harvest that is white, ready to be reaped. We are all sheep. Whether you're a lost sheep or a found sheep, we're all sheep. And some people don't like that. They say, oh, you know, sheep are dumb creatures. Well, in the eyes of the shepherd, we've all gone astray, like that foolish sheep that leaves the protective care of the fold and goes wandering on the mountains out there in the danger zone, waiting to be devoured by a wolf. The Lord Jesus says, look at the people, they are as sheep without a shepherd. Lost, confused. That's the condition of the lost sheep. And he was moved with compassion. It's a good challenge for us because we look around at people around us every day. We see people pass us by. And oftentimes you can see it in their eyes, as it were, that they are lost sheep without a shepherd. Who knows where they're going and what they're doing today? But there's one thing for sure. When this life is over, we know that they are going into a Christless eternity. And the Lord Jesus gives us the example as a shepherd looking on the lost sheep. He was moved with compassion. Does it move you to see the lost going about their daily business without any real understanding of their eternal destiny? That they are without the Good Shepherd. That they don't have the comfort of knowing the Good Shepherd. The provision that the Good Shepherd provides. And the eternal life that he offers to his people. Moved with compassion. Again, we're all sheep. The only difference is whether you're lost or found at this point. And if you are not one of the Good Shepherd's sheep, let me tell you, he's seeking you today. He's looking for his lost sheep. Again, would you come to the shepherd today? Give yourself to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. It says at the second part of verse 1 there, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when I first read that, when I was quite young, I misinterpreted that and I thought, why do I not want this shepherd? That's what I thought it was referring to. The Lord is my shepherd, but I don't want him. That's what I thought it was saying. And I was rather confused about that and rather relieved when I discovered that that's not what it's referring to. The Lord is my shepherd. And then separate to that or added on like an appendage there is, I shall not want. What that's saying is, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. I'll have all my needs provided so that there is nothing that I would want beyond what he has provided. That's essentially what it's stating. The Lord is my shepherd, so I will have all my needs taken care of. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd and he cares for his sheep very clearly. He's the good shepherd. Now, this phrase is not referring to carnal desires or to things that wouldn't be appropriate for us to have, okay? When it says, I shall not want, there are plenty of things that people want that they shouldn't have. It's not referring to that, okay? It's referring to the true essentials in life. When the Lord is our shepherd, he will provide our needs, not necessarily your wants, okay? It's like there was a young lady before she went out, before you know she became a missionary out on the fields in India. She was complaining to her mother about how God had made her with brown eyes, and she thought, I'd be much more beautiful with blue eyes, you know. And one day she was sitting at the table and she said, "Mother, will God answer my prayers?" And her mother said, "Oh, yes, dear, of course he will." And she said, "Really, he will answer my prayers?" "Oh, yes, dear." And the little girl said, "Well, then he will answer my prayers tonight." And left the table, and her mother thought, "What's she up to now?" Well, the little girl came to her in the morning and said, "Mother, it didn't work. God didn't answer my prayers." "Well, what did you ask for, my dear?" "Well, I asked him to give me blue eyes last night, and I've still got brown eyes, okay?" Now, of course, we understand that there are certain wants that God will not grant us. Now, sometimes there are things that are wants that God allows us to have. God does let us have those things. But God, the Good Shepherd, provides our needs. And as it turned out, that young girl ended up going to India as a missionary and opened effectively an orphanage. And what she discovered is that the young Indian children that she was looking after were actually frightened by blue eyes. And so if she had have had blue eyes, she couldn't have gone and worked with these young Indian children. It turned out that the brown eyes were what these young children were used to, and so they found it easy to get used to her. See, the Lord knows what we need. He doesn't always give you what you want, but he knows what you need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The Good Shepherd is more than able to provide for your needs. Philippians, I'm just going to read a few verses here, okay? You don't need to turn there. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Psalm 50, verses 10 to 12 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Everything belongs to God. The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. Do you think he has enough to provide for you? Of course he does. And then the psalmist in Psalm 37 verse 25 gives testimony as he says, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The Lord, when the Lord is our shepherd, he provides for his sheep. He looks after us. And then the psalmist gives us the pictures of the shepherd who leads the sheep into green pastures and beside still waters. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." There are two important aspects to note about these pastures. Firstly, there is rest in these pastures. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The Good Shepherd provides rest. Rest from danger. Rest from effort to provide for our own needs. He is the one who provides everything. In the Christian life, oftentimes we get distracted from the truths of the Word of God, and we start to think that the Christian life is a work of our own strength and our own effort. We start to think that we have to make things happen for God. And God says, "No, I want to make things happen through you. I want to do the work through you." The shepherd is the one who provides us with rest, not the rest of inactivity, but the rest of trying to accomplish things in our own strength instead of being led by and dependent on the Good Shepherd. He makes us to lie down and rest, providing security so that we can rest free from fear of danger. The believer who walks in the Spirit with the life of Christ flowing through him, that believer has ceased from his own labors. and from his own efforts, and has entered into the rest which the shepherd provides. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Yes, those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have ceased from their own efforts to please God, their own efforts to obtain heaven. When we place our faith in the Good Shepherd, we cease from self-effort and we rest in what the Good Shepherd has already done to accomplish salvation. We rest in what he is going to do through our lives after salvation. And so there is rest that is provided for the sheep. Then there is food in these pastures, as they are green pastures, which speaks about a bountiful life. When you come to the Good Shepherd and you put your faith in him and you trust him, you say, "Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to be the one who leads me through life. I want you to be the one who is my all in all." Then he becomes your life. The Good Shepherd provides a bountiful life. John chapter 10 verses 10 to 11 says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to destroy and to kill. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So what is the Good Shepherd bringing to his sheep? It's abundant life. It's bountiful life. It's blessing. The green pastures that the shepherd leads us in. He is the Good Shepherd, and he gives his life for the sheep that they might have life abundant. You only have one life. Would you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him make it an abundant life? The Good Shepherd provides abundant life for us. He provides all our needs when we follow him to the green pastures that he has for us. Again, it's important to remember that the provision of the Good Shepherd is not primarily material, although that's involved, but the primary focus, what the Good Shepherd wants to give us, is of a spiritual nature. It's spiritual blessing. The Lord Jesus' primary goal as the shepherd is firstly to rescue the sheep from spiritual death, from eternal damnation. And the green pastures speak about the spiritual fulfillment of a life that is lived in and under the tender care and protection of the shepherd. So it's the abundant Christian life that's lived in fellowship with the shepherd, following closely by the shepherd's side as he leads you through life. It's a spiritual blessing primarily, but there are material blessings, of course, that go along with that. He leads me beside the still waters. End of verse 2 there. The shepherd knows that sheep can't drink from rapidly flowing waters. Have you ever tried that? Take the sheep down to the rapids there as the water's rushing by and say, "Go on, get something to drink." Those sheep are going to struggle at best. The sheep need the still waters. They need the quiet waters to drink from. They cannot drink from the fast-flowing, turbulent waters, but they need the calm waters of the Good Shepherd. John chapter 6, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John chapter 4 verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He is the bread of life. He is the water of life to us. As believers, we don't need the turbulent waters of the world, but rather the calm of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, bringing calm and stability through His leading. Staying close to the Good Shepherd, drinking in of Him, of His Spirit, that refreshes us in the inner man. That's what we need. And the result of this is restoration of the soul. He restoreth my soul. We can often become weary or even discouraged in the Christian life. And this tends to happen when we wander away from the Good Shepherd and lose the closeness that we ought to have with Him. When we stay close to the Good Shepherd, He leads us in those green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. We're spiritually refreshed in His presence. But when we wander away from Him, we lose that freshness, the refreshing water of the Spirit there in our lives. We lose that comfort that comes with being in the Shepherd's tender care. And that's when we tend to become weary and discouraged. If we cease from following the Shepherd and we go our own way, then we cannot be led in those green pastures. The secret to restoration of the soul is to return to close fellowship with the Shepherd, to following closely beside the Shepherd, letting Him lead us to that bountiful life that He has provided for us. That's what the Shepherd wants to do. The Shepherd loves the sheep. He wants to provide for the sheep. He wants to lead them by the still waters. He wants to make them lie down in green pastures. But the sheep must follow the Shepherd. If the sheep aren't following the Shepherd, they can't expect to just happen upon still waters. They can't expect to be refreshed and feel the comfort of the presence of the Shepherd if they're going their own way. And the sheep must follow the Shepherd. And when He is able to lead us into those green pastures, He does so for His own name's sake, so that He might be glorified through it, so that those seeing the abundance that He provides for His people might glorify God. That's the point. As God looks after His people, God receives the glory for it. You remember in our study in the Old Testament, as we go through the book of Joshua, when Israel was defeated the first time they attacked Ai, and Joshua prayed to the Lord, and in his prayer at the end he says, you know, but what about these nations that see your people as they're in this place of defeat? They'll rise up, they'll compass us about, and they'll destroy us. And what will you do to your great name? Why? Because he understood that when God looks after his people, when God's people abound in life, then those looking on recognize that it's God who is blessing them, and God receives the glory for it. But it's something else when God's people refuse to follow God and they go away from those green pastures. They leave the blessing of the tender care of the Shepherd, and they leave the abundant life that he is providing for them. Then that is actually bringing reproach on the name of God. Because he is someone who claims to be one of God's people who is not living an abundant life. So God very clearly wants us to live this abundant life. He wants us to be in the tender care of the Shepherd, walking close with him, but it's something that we must choose to do. And when we do that, it brings glory to God. Next, in verses 4 to 5, we see the Shepherd's protection. The protection of the Shepherd. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The presence of the shepherd provides protection. And the psalmist uses this phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, to describe that journey from this life to the next. A journey that Brother Matt just passed through. As was said by one particular theologian, he said, but this little sleep, and then to awake to eternal life. Others, the Bible often describes death as sleep. Others have described it as a door passing from this life into the next. The psalmist here describes it as the valley of the shadow of death. And it's important to remember that death is not natural to us. Did you understand that death is not something that we were created to experience? When God created man in the Garden of Eden, God created man to live in fellowship with him forever. God did not create man with the intention that man would sin and bring death upon himself. So death is something that is not natural to us. It's no surprise that people fear death, because we weren't created with the intention that we should experience death. But even in death, something that we brought on ourselves, when we take the Good Shepherd as our own shepherd, when he is the one who is allowed to lead us in these paths of righteousness for his name's sake, then even when it comes to the point when we must pass through that veil, through the valley of the shadow of death, even in that time when others would be fearful, we can say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Good Shepherd, even there, carries us through. And it's one of those things, Brother Hawkhan and I were talking about it just earlier, that experience, what it must be like for the last breath to leave the body, for the eyes to finally close that last time, and then to awake in the presence of the Saviour. How it must be to know, as it were, the leading of the shepherd through this life, and then to step one moment to the next into eternity and see the Saviour, see the Good Shepherd, the one who led us so tenderly through this life with such care and love and protection. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death holds no fear for the Christian, because we know that the Lord is with us, and when we reach the other side, he is the one who will take us into his presence, there to forever dwell with the Saviour. It is a sad occasion, of course, when anyone dies, but how much more so when an unbeliever dies? When the unbeliever passes from this life to the next, whose hand is holding theirs? Who is their shepherd? And what do they have to look for on the other side but judgment? But for the believer, the one who has trusted the Good Shepherd, the Lord is with us. And we have hope of life abundant on the other side. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absence from this body is presence with the Lord for the Christian. And so the presence of the shepherd guides us from this life to the next. So the picture is that the shepherd, he leads us through this life. He provides for us in this life. And even when this life comes to its close, as the curtains, as it were, of this life are drawn to a close, the Good Shepherd leads us from this life to the next. His rod and his staff there to protect us and to guide us. The rod there, like a club to ward off danger. The staff, that shepherd's crook to gently lead the sheep. The good shepherd will lead us through this life and into the next. And even though we may face enemies, the good shepherd is able, even in the presence of our enemies, to spread a feast for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The shepherd has taken care to provide for his sheep. Matthew chapter 6 verses 25 and 26 say, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet of your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The provision of the shepherd. And then the anointing of the oil there speaks of a special welcoming at the table. The sheep which the shepherd has rescued are now anointed in preparation for this feast. And then it says, My cup runneth over, which of course speaks of the abundant provision which the shepherd provides. The good shepherd provides us with everything that we need. And based on all of that, the psalmist concludes and says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then, again, looking to the future, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, as long as I have the Lord as my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And when this life draws to a close, when I do pass through that valley of the shadow of death, well then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the providence of the shepherd. Goodness and mercy. Again, just speaking about that abundant life, the daily provision that the shepherd makes for us. His mercy is always present as he guides us away from danger and protects us from the things that would harm us. His goodness, we notice God's goodness in Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The goodness of God will never fail. His mercy will never be depleted. It is with us all the days of our life. It never fails us. I rejoice with Brother Matt. You know, I was in the hospital with him just on Wednesday, last Wednesday, and the one prior. I was able to go and see him, and he continued to tell me about the blessed time he was having in the study of the Word. He's spending extra time in reading his Bible and in prayer as he was there in the hospital, unable to leave the hospital bed, but taking time to spend some time in fellowship and closeness with the Good Shepherd, and still able to testify at that time of the mercies and the goodness of the Good Shepherd. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when it comes my time, as Brother Matt's was yesterday, when it comes my time to go from this life to the next, I have the hope, the promise of Scripture, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There will be complete abundance, provision for all eternity in the presence of the Good Shepherd. And so that is the final destination. The purpose of the shepherd as he leads us through this life is to finally bring us to our eternal home. The Lord Jesus said in the New Testament, didn't he, that he was going to his Father's house, and in his Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, what will happen? I will come again Why? That I might receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the good shepherd, even as he tenderly leads us through this life by the presence of his Spirit, even now he is preparing our eternal home where he can provide for us for all eternity, where there will certainly be no wanting in heaven. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want. And so this great climax of blessing comes when the Lord is my shepherd. And you'll never experience these blessings unless he is your shepherd. Unless you have put your faith in the good shepherd and been added to his fold, then you cannot claim the promises of this psalm. You need to follow the good shepherd in order to know his love, his protection, and his provision. And then only those who have been found by the good shepherd can finally enter into eternal life with him. In conclusion, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What did the psalm speak about? "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The rest of the shepherd. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Have you begun to follow the shepherd? Or have you only heard his call but are yet to respond? Well, the shepherd of love is calling his sheep. Will you answer him today? Respond to the shepherd. Enter into his fold, into the tender love, care and provision of the good shepherd. Be one of his. And then you can know his leading through this life on into the next, to eternal life. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's close in a word of prayer this morning.